You know, this is the 10th Easter that my wife and I have had the privilege of coming here to Glen Eden, and this is the first time we've had a harp, and it was awesome. Again, thanks Sharon and Michelle. And you might say, who is this guy up there, and why is he standing up there? My name is Jeff Bowman, and I have been honored in my life to pastor four churches, starting way back in 1978. And if you want to know more about me and some of my thoughts and ideas, jeffreybowman.com, my personal website. It's just a joy. We've been coming out to Glen Eden since the year 2000. We joined the club back then and got involved in the hospitality, helping people on Saturdays, you know, get processed and learn the ins and outs of nudism. And it was in 2002 that I was open in my life, our life, and shared with my church that I was a nudist. And they, of course, said, no problemo. Not. Actually, the church had no problem because they knew us. But it was the denomination that said, wait a minute, if Jeff and Judy are allowed to do that, what's next? And so we got asked to leave, and we did. And we realized the world was not ready for a pastor to say that it's okay to be naked in a social setting with other people. It's just not. And so we became massage therapists, and we opened up our own little Shangri-La out in the desert called Living Water Spa. Who has been there? Raise your hand, please. Oh, nice, nice. That was cool. About a third or more of you raised your hands. That was sweet. Thank you. And we help people every week learn that nude isn't lewd, and that you can have a massage that's not sexual. And not that we're against sex or anything like that, but the whole idea of body acceptance, oneness with the universe, with fellow man, that's what we've been able to do. And so our congregation that was, when we left the church, about 150, we now have a congregation of about 7,000 visitors that have come to our spa. Of course, they don't know they're my congregation, but, you know. So I'm very honored to be here. Oh, and we're also very involved in our town. Judy's the president of our hotelier organization. I'm an elected official for the water district. Yeah, I ran 4 years ago, and one of the guys said, well, we don't want that naked guy running our water district. And it was on a blog on the newspaper, and it was an anonymous signature. And I go, I'm Jeff Bowman. Here's what I've done for the city. Who are you? Come on, let's go out and get naked, and let's talk about this. And, of course, it completely shut him down, and I took out an incumbent, and I was very proud of that. I think our life speaks to our desire to help move along. I am right now warm. I feel sorry for you. Earlier, I heard some of you saying, Jeff even said, oh, Jeff's going to be up there. It's going to be raining. He's going to be naked. He's crazy. And as it turns out, I'm quite warm right now. Okay, I like to start my messages, as you know, if you've been to, how many have been to an Easter Glen Eden in the last 10 years? Oh, I have a fan club. Awesome. I'm joking. But I like to start with little things about the Easter Bunny, and so here's a few for what they're worth. What do you call a bunny with a large brain? An egghead. Come on, you knew that. Where does the Easter Bunny get his eggs? From eggplants. Come on. What do you call an Easter Bunny with fleas? Bugs Bunny. You knew that. What happened to the Easter egg when he was tickled too much?
Cracked up.
Yes! You are smart. What does the Easter Bunny get for making a basket? Hey, 2 points, just like everybody else. And lastly, to put us all out of misery, what did the Easter Bunny say to the carrot?
What's up, bro?
It's been nice gnawing you.
Oh,
that's a good moaner. I like moaners. Our study today, I've entitled, I got to get this thing squared away here. I'm recording it for posterity, or I don't know what. I've entitled it, The Resurrection Reboot. Since the 1980s, and by the way, in your bulletin, I want to thank Sharon for putting my notes in. And if you open it all the way up, you have the Bible text on the left and my some of my bigger points on the right that I hope to make as we go through it. Anyway, since the 1980s, we've been living in the era of personal computers. In fact, I spent 15 years of my life working for Toshiba America, notebook computers when they first came out, and I cut my teeth on DOS, and then we went to Windows, and now tablets. I mean, I have my iPad here recording my message, and your iPhones. We're living in this age of everything shrinking down, and you know, the Dick Tracy talking to the watch thing is becoming a reality for us. But one concept the computer age has taught us, and that is the concept of rebooting. Who knows what rebooting is? Okay, did you know there's a difference between a hard reboot and a soft reboot? Soft reboot is what? On the old Control-Alt-Delete or Restart button. And that's a soft boot. It just sort of refreshes everything. And then a hard boot is where you say, this sucker needs help, and you turn it off. And then it comes back up, and it's ready to go. Now, we've just had occasions to reboot not just our computers, but Judy just got a new car, or actually is driving my car, and things all of a sudden went wacky. What was it, Jude? You were putting it in park.
Oh, it wouldn't go out of gear.
It wouldn't go out of gear. And so she's pushing the buttons and the levers, and she couldn't get it. So she thought, reboot. Turned everything off, turned it back on, and of course, it rebooted, and it was happy. What happens when you reboot? It restarts. It takes the clogged memory and flushes it. It allows everything to come up fresh. It's one of those things that the whole reboot process is very important. Your computer can run sluggish. You know, you try to move your mouse and it's jerking all over the screen, or your videos don't play right. In Scripture, we find the concept of rebooting in the lives of people who have a restart in their life. And we see, especially in the Easter message, the biggest reboot of all, and that's called resurrection. The biggest, granddaddiest reboot of the entire existence of planet Earth. And it corresponds with a new heaven and a new earth. We'll be talking about these things this morning. I have four big points. The ability to reboot, reboot your life, the ultimate reboot, and then Easter is about rebooting your life. So let's dive into this a little bit. The ability to reboot. And I take this from Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and it's the resurrection of Jesus. The very first verse of the morning, who was delivered for our offenses, sort of like we sang this morning, how great thou art, and was raised again for our justification. That little verse is the Easter message bracketed and in bold. And if you think about it, we could all say we've had a good service and go home just with those thoughts. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Lots of people on planet Earth have died up until the time of Christ and past the death of Christ. But only Jesus thus far has been raised. Why is this significant? The rest of the passage I give you here, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. You see, the reason for reboot is that humanity got itself stuck. Us humans, going back to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed, and even in us in our personal lives, we get to the point where we get stuck. Adam's sin, my point, infected humanity with a virus, sickness and death, disobedience to God. The day they ate of the forbidden fruit, the text says they became as gods, small g, knowing good and evil. And what happened? It's as though our Heavenly Father, what did happen is our Father said, all right then, you want to do it your way? Have it your way? You're on your own now. And then he put parameters for Adam to live with, and then later down we know the passages of Scripture, all the way through Moses with the Ten Commandments, and all these parameters God puts out there. And what do? We walk into walls all the time. We stumble and we fall because this virus has gotten into us. But the passage says, For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So here comes the first Adam, sickness and death. As Paul says in Corinthians, the second Adam, the last Adam, comes righteousness. And like you have an antiviral for your computer, Jesus is the ultimate antiviral solution. And it's his resurrection that is the verification that we too can reboot. Without this, there is no substance to the ability to reboot as humans. And you might say, well, what does it cost me? You know, is it McAfee? How much do I have to pay per month for my computer, for my life to be protected? What does the verse say? The free gift. So there's our Heavenly Father, seeing the mess that we're in, provides His Son, our Savior, who died and rose again. And what is it? It's free. And it's free to everybody. Not just the good people like you and me. It's free to the world. We keep reading in the verses. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, now think of like water. I know you all had a flood here not too long ago. The water came off the hills and took out parts of the club, and that water was just abundantly running through here and destroying things. So where sin ran through humanity and was wiping us out, what was it that much more abounded? It's the word grace. Grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my next 2 points under the ability to reboot. God's grace abounds, brothers and sisters. It's unlimited and unrestrained. Now I know that maybe you've had religion in your life that have told you, God's grace is restrained. And that's why you got to come to our church, because we're the right way. And then we go, oh, really? Well, then that's better what I ought to do. Then I ought to do that. The fact is, God's grace is bigger than any human institution can ever handle. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I feel like preaching. God's grace cannot be contained by human beliefs. I'm sorry if you don't think that's true, but it is true. I can't constrain or contain God's grace. It's too much. And yet religion tries to make people knuckle down and to say, here's the way to salvation. Crawling on your knees. Abstaining from things. You know, the old, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't cuss, and I don't go with girls that do kind of idea. None of that can restrain God's grace. None of it. And the last part, verse 21, so as sin reigned in death, even so grace might just hang in there. Is that what the verse says? That grace might just, you know, barely exist. What is reigning? Say it with me. Grace. I didn't hear you. Grace. What is reigning today? Grace. Is it just barely existing? No. Is it just barely getting by? No. Well, then how come it is that you and I don't see it? Because we need a reboot. That's my next point. Reboot your life in a daily resurrection. Oh, my little subpoint under Grace Reigns. Not the law or any religious teachings can squelch, can restrain grace. Martin Luther, we know the story. He was a Roman Catholic priest, and he started studying about grace, and then he bust out. He had a reboot. And so how about in your life, this concept of daily resurrection? John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be partially free. If the Son sets you free, you're free to go to church. You know, welcome to Jesus. Now here's the rules. If the Son will set you free, you are free indeed. And Jesus was the one making that statement. So brothers and sisters, the point is humanity has been freed. Even you, even me, has been freed. And you know, this is where we get all goofy. Our own religious thoughts and minds, our own preconceived ideas, our notions get in the way. I like to put it this way. We had four kids, and now four grandkids, and they're awesome. And we got to watch our older two. They came and hung with us out at the desert. We got to go in the desert looking for critters, and we just had a blast. And as grandparents, it's so much fun. You know, can I have another piece of bread? Of course you can have another piece of bread. Can I have a soda? Of course. I don't have to say no. Because they are free, indeed. God is like that. He's freed us. But how come it is that you and I stumble and we kind of sometimes, you know, muddle our way through life? Because we need a reboot. So anyway, as wise parents, God has freed us. And my illustration goes like this. You have your kids and you say, go play in the backyard. You know, get out of my house. Get out of my hair. Go play in the backyard. And what's the backyard? Well, the backyard's got some fences. And you tell your kids, all right, go play. Don't, you know, beat up your brother or sister. Don't play with matches. Don't hop over the fence. And this is simple but true. God has given us the don'ts, right? Ten Commandments is a good one. Think about it. They're simple. They're basic. He hasn't told, just like I didn't tell my kids, oh, make sure you go play in the mud puddle and then go over there and climb the tree and then, by the way, build a fort over there. No, when you're free, you're just free to do it. And so what happens with us as humans, we get this notion that, okay, I'm free, but I only want to do what God wants me to do. I'm telling you, that's goofy. That's like the little kid who goes to the backyard and every 5 minutes comes to you and says, "Hey, Daddy, Mommy, what do you want me to do out here?" And the parent says, "Kid, play! Have fun!" "Oh, but Mommy, I don't know. Can I go over here and do this?" And then one of the siblings says, "You can't do that." And in this parallel to our faith, that's where religion comes in, our own personal life, our culture, and often says, "Oh no, nude in front of other people? What happens? How come you are at a club like Glen Eden? How come I'm standing up here preaching to you naked?" You had a reboot. You had a concept in your mind that you thought was, okay, nudity is said to be wrong, but I'm going to do some thoughtful research on this. I'm going to go check it out. Hey, it's okay. If there's one group of people that ought to be wonderfully rebooting in their life on a daily basis, it should be nudists. We should be able to say to ourselves, "Gee, you know, I never thought of it that way." We should be the most open-minded folks on planet Earth. Open-minded about our friends, our family, ourselves, our faith, our God. I was talking with some friends on the Book of Facebook the other day, and the topic of truth came up, and this person said, "Absolute truth." And, pardon me? And I said, "Well, absolute is always relative." And that is upsetting to some people. But think about it. Years and years ago, before you were born, I don't know, maybe Jeff was there, but everybody thought the world was flat. Now, I realize this is a goofy illustration, but they really believed the earth was flat. And when all of a sudden it was postulated that the earth could be circumnavigated and it was round, was that accepted with open arms? No. People died because they dared to have a reboot. Why? Because they had more data. It's the data that gave them the ability to scratch their head and say, "I think the world is round." In your life, friends, this daily reboot is so critical. If the sun has set you free and you're not feeling it, a reboot is needed. And you know what? It can happen. I like the very next verse, Psalm 32:8. God says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." Now, it would be easy to read that verse and say, "Great God, teach me. I don't want to do any of my own research. I don't want to do any of my own thought. I want you to just teach me. I want to be like an open funnel and you just pour into me." But the problem is, our kids can say the same thing about their math and when they're studying in school. "Just pour the math into me, teacher." And the teacher says, "I'm pouring, but you're not processing." And there's God pouring into us through life and through circumstances, and we're saying, "Well, if God really wants me to, oh, well, okay, maybe." And God's saying, "Get on with it. I've set you free. Now go free and be free and fail fast and learn from your failures and grow as humans and have tolerance and love for each other as they fumble and go through life failing and learning and growing." I really like the next part of the verse. "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. So many times people of faith say, God, just lead me. And God says, I'm not going to lead you like a horse or a mule. That's, where am I getting glory out of that? Just like the parent with the child. Mommy, what should I be when I grow up? And the parent says, well, whatever you want to be. No, Mommy, I really want to know what you want me to be. And we're going, you mean it's that way with God too? Absolutely. And as I look at this group, I see a group of very brilliant, intelligent people with such diversity that it's a glory to God. Just like my four kids are all four different, and we step back and take pride in who they are. We've instructed, we've given guidance, but they have had the reboots to do in their life. Okay, here's some more practical points. Such personal freedom that we have requires a reboot to be experienced. And it only comes via the truth. There's a residual aspect to that virus that remains in us. That little g, thinking we know it all, and we got to have input from life and circumstances. And it's that that enables the reboot, that new data. And so my challenge to you today, how open are you to new data about yourself? You know, if it's to be, it's up to me. It's really true. Well, where's God in that? God's bigger than it. And He wants us to accept personal responsibility for our lives, to glorify Him. I've had some reboots. It took me 4 years of study and thought to realize that being nude is not lewd. How about you? I mean, you know, you had to come to this concept somehow. That was a reboot. How about as you're dealing with some of the social things that are plaguing our society today that has divided the nation? And I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, what are you looking at? Are you open to new data? Because when it all comes down, that virus that's back inside of us forms our being in such a way that we could be blocked to reboots. The next passage is of Philippians 4, where Paul writes, and it's a lengthy passage. He's giving his pedigree as a Jewish believer. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surprising greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Now, it's hard for us to read this, but what Paul is talking about was the biggest reboot he had in his life, and that's when he came to know Jesus as his Savior. It was a big mind shift. And he was taking great pride in his religious background and his thought process. And one day, he had a situation. God wrapped him upside the head and knocked him off his horse. Kind of got his attention a little bit. And then he realized he had to have a reboot. Maybe in your life, a health issue, a loss of a loved one. I mean, it was Judy's health issue of breast cancer that got me thinking about the body. And then her father, my father, becoming ill, and we had to take care of them and deal with their nakedness. And I was uncomfortable, but why? It was my dad, and why? And I realized I needed a reboot. I need to look at things differently and realize that all my preconceived ideas about the earth being flat just weren't so. Paul continues and makes a statement that is sort of muted by our translation. It says, I consider them rubbish. Paul didn't have a problem with cuss words like we do. He used cuss words when it counted. The Greek word for word rubbish starts with an S and it's four letters. And even I have a hard time saying it. I am not kidding you. As Paul analyzed himself, he realized he was in a crap of a mess. And he needed a reboot. He analyzed and he said, you know, all these things I thought were important to me were crap. Compared to a freedom I have in Christ and letting Him work in and through me. That he says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ, and now side two, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. And so my practical point on this is, how are you when it comes to your reboot readiness? I say spirituality in our lives equals questions that cannot be answered. I spend a life, you spend a life trying to figure out the whys. And with humility, we say, I just really, you know, I have an idea. I have a belief. But maybe with more data, I could change my mind. I'm passionate about debate. And I am dying for data. Or do we get stuck in religion? And religion says what? We have answers, and you better not question them. Spirituality deals with questions that cannot be answered. And I'm telling you what, I've been a theologian, a student of God's Word, student of philosophy all my life, master's degree, the whole nine yards. I have gotten dumber as I've gotten older. The things I thought I knew, I don't know. Somehow I realized I didn't know them. And now you ask me a question and I will reply, well, here's what I think. But do you have more data? And this comes into all life. And now I want to bring it home to us in a very practical way. How are you in the area of rebooting? I say, we are naked to God. As nudists, we really get that. You know, you can't hide from God. But we do a good job still. In our heart and in our soul, we get stuck. That virus is there. Maybe you have a problem of anger. Maybe you just don't know how to deal with your emotions on a topic and you just fly off the handle or you clam up. A reboot's possible, my friends. A reboot is possible. Maybe it's gossip. You know, here at the club, nobody gossips about anybody here at the club, do they? Oh, man. Well, did you see what so-and-so, you know? And, you know, why do we do that? We do it. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say nude is wrong, but it does say gossip is wrong. Reboot. How about lying? You know, and it might not be the big fabricated lie, but the big fish story. The fish was this big. Notice my fingers. Substance abuse. You know, and I'm not trying to step on any toes, but I am saying that these are things that are in us. They're coping mechanisms that we've picked up in life, the anger, the gossip, the lying, substance abuse. And God wants us to be able to reboot because He wants to continue to set us free. And then there's another one, fear. I mean, I have fears. It's human to have any and all of these things. But with more data, we can reboot. Some of my next little points, people say, but I don't want to. I don't want to change my mind on any topic because my mind is made up. The whole concept that is being battled in Christianity today between, marriage and gay and lesbian rights. I've done a reboot on that, friends. I challenge you, if you differ from me, it's okay. All I know is that the three or four passages that I used to, in my fundamentalist days, say were anti, they're not even talking about what we're seeing today. There's an appearance of it, but it's not. And I'd be glad to share with you more. But I'm showing you that we can get more data and have a change of thought. You don't have to change. Judy and I often talk about our parents. And my parents at our age, young 50s, they had stopped any kind of rebooting. They had stopped thinking. My mind is made up, and don't confuse me with the facts. That's the idea. I can't do it that way. I'm not wired. So you don't have to change. You don't have to reboot. Or some people say, I'll let God do it for me. If God wants to reboot, He'll do it for me. Well, we already saw the passage. Don't be like the horse or the donkey that have to be. I don't want you that way. I want you searching, seeking in life. And then there's the circumstances, like what happened with us, with health issues that caused us to reboot on the body. I mean, the Christian church forever has done reboots. We're just about two generations or 40 years behind. Used to be that if a man was divorced or a woman divorced, there was a stigma. Thank God there isn't anymore. Look at that reboot, how long it took. Reboot requires humility. My new saying is, the more I see, the less I know. And the more love I want to have for my God and for my fellow humans. And if you're in a path that's different than mine, you know what? You don't answer to me. Aren't you glad? And I'm really glad I don't answer to you. I answer only to God, or to Judy. But I answer alone. Finally, the ultimate reboot. But before I get to that, am I coming through today? Are you dialing it in? May you have a passion for God that is an openness to everything. It's very clear, lying, cheating, stealing, those things are not right. We do them. But look at all the little ancillary things that are not defined that we make big taboos about. And that's okay, you can do that. But poor God gets blamed for so many things. Well, Mom said you shouldn't play with that. Oh yeah, when did Mom say that? Okay, the ultimate reboot. Before the message, I was standing at the Via Della Rosa head there and handing out the bulletins and greeting you, and the sun was hitting me over there, and I was like this. And I was looking out at the Glen of Eden, and it hit me. The day is coming, brothers and sisters, where this world is going to be rebooted. The passage is in Revelation. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Now, I realize I'm going to make a little comment here. That this often sounds, and it is, quite ominous, all right? But this is not like, the end of the year or the Mayan calendar. This is really good news, but it sounds bad. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. You see, this is Resurrection Day. This is when I get to stand before my God and say, here I am, God. You know, I'll stand there maybe with my tinnies on and naked. I don't know. Maybe I'll have my guitar or my surfboard or my motorcycle. I don't know. Or all those things. He'll say, here's what you've done. And I'll go, cool. And he'll say, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me a chance in your life. He alone will judge you and me. It won't be religion. It won't me being telling you you're going to go to hell unless you come to Glen Eden Easter Sunday service. Well, that would be a few people in heaven if that was only us. But there are people that think that. They have the right to their opinion, but I rebooted on that one a long time ago. God's bigger than it all. He's definitely bigger than me. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, and this is a good news, I'm making everything new. I'm rebooting this whole thing. Write this down, he said. These words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost. It's free. From the spring of the water of life. And so my points under this ultimate reboot. Humankind will be raised and judged. And I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. God's the judge. Heaven, or the sky, and earth will be purged of toxins. We have all of our ecology folks, you know, and we all should be good stewards of what we have here on planet Earth and, you know, our carbon footprint and all that stuff. Well, God's going to just reboot it. No more sea and ocean. Now, I've often thought, if all of humanity is resurrected, where will they all fit? Well, right now, 71% of the Earth is filled with water. And the Bible said there's going to be no more seas. So we're going to have a 71% more landmass for resurrected people to be on. Just a thought. You know, the kabillion people that have been on planet Earth, I have no idea how many, but it'll be a new one. No more sickness and death. In just a few minutes, as we close our service, I'm going to read the list of those who have passed away. And when Sharon sent it to me, I mean, I know those names. I know some of those people. Even though we haven't been at the club regularly for the last, you know, 8 years or so. It's like, gosh. And last year, I lost three really neat people in my life. And no more tears. This grand reboot. All things are made new. And so, if I can wind this down, our final point. Easter is about rebooting your life. I can't reboot your life. I'll even say God often doesn't reboot it unless you want God to. Circumstances can bump into you and you're now forced to rethink. 1st of all, what does it take? A personal acknowledgement. We have our prejudices. We do. We have our mindsets. It's starting to say, starting with the reboot, is starting to say, you know, I really don't know a whole hell of a lot. My life has been so wonderful, but I don't know it all. And then it's, the next thought is a relentless pursuit of truth. You know, I may disagree with you, but you know what? I want to hear what you have to say. Because you may give me a little shred of data that all of a sudden it makes sense to me. You know, when Judy and I have arguments and she's always right, I don't think she is. The other day, I was saying, honey, can we move the coffee pots from this area over to here? And she said, you've asked me that 3 times, and I don't want to move them. And I've told you, and she gets really, she got upset with me, and I don't blame her. But what I was doing in my stupidity was I was looking for a little bit of data as to why they're there. That's just how I work. What's the why behind it? And she gave it to me. Say no more. And I go, now I understand. Don't be like the horse, she says, Jeff. You know, don't be like the dumb ass. You know, learn, listen. And so humility is changing your mind upon further data. And that's what I want to leave you with today. Back in the day, when the early church would meet on and coming and going at Easter, they had this little thing, and we do it here, at least I've been doing it with you, where they would say, He is risen. And they would say back, He is risen indeed. And I want us to do that a couple times. And I want you to look at yourself and think, how can I be a better human? He was raised that I can live eternally. He was raised that I can live now. What part of life is a reboot needed? So let's do it. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You are good learners. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you, the God of creation. Thank you, little birdie, for reminding us to listen. Thank you for the love that we have with each other. Teach us, Lord, when our prejudice and our fears get in the way, when our lives get stuck and we keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Help us to reboot. Help us seek new ideas and thought and humility, knowing that we don't know it all. Lord, there have been people that have gone away from us this past year whom we miss. Wrap them in your arms and hold them tight. Help us remember their lives, their memories. May we hold them dear. And may someday others hold us dear as we take the dirt nap and await resurrection. Thank you for loving us, God, with a love beyond measure, that grace abounds and is not limited, and that we have our salvation in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this morning. Amen.